It is a very crowded field of GOP candidates. How are you working to distinguish yourself from the rest of the field?
Well, a couple of things. One, I think we got a lot of great talkers running for president. We've got a great talker in the White House today. You would never run anything. We need a doer, not a talker. The reality is, in my state, we've already cut our budget 26%, 30,000 fewer state bureaucrats. We're a top 10 state for private sector job creation. So first, we need somebody with a proven track record who can turn our country around. Secondly, I've been telling folks we need to embrace our own principles. Jeb Bush says that we've got to be willing to lose the primary in order to win the general election. To me, what that means is the establishment is telling Republicans, hide your conservative beliefs, try to get the left to like you. That never works. If we do that again, we will lose the election. We will deserve to lose the election. So secondly, I'm actually advocating we embrace our principles. Let's secure the border, repeal Obamacare. Let's grow the private sector economy, not the government economy. Let's invest in the military. Let's stand with our allies like Israel. Let's stop Iran from becoming a nuclear power. I think these two things, a doer, not a talker, and embracing our own principles, set me apart from the other candidates.
And let's talk about that wide field of candidates. Fox News recently held a debate, and they cut off the number of candidates at 10, and then there were the also-rans. If you were giving advice, or if you would have had a chance to weigh in on that, what would you have done? What would you have said?
Well, a couple things. Look, we're happy to debate anybody, anywhere, anytime. Where we're choosing to spend our time is here in Iowa. We've committed to going to every one of the 99 counties. We're getting a great response. We have more and more people showing up at our town halls, standing room only crowds. We wait till the last question is answered, and then I stick around afterwards and wait till the last person leaves. Look, I know there are a lot of candidates willing to say outrageous things to try to get on a national stage or get more attention. I don't think that's how you win this election. I think you win this election by talking directly to voters, listening to them, taking their questions. There are a lot of folks who can give a speech, but they can't answer the tough questions. They can't stand up to scrutiny. So I'm more than happy to debate folks anywhere, anytime, but I'm more interested in spending my time on the ground in Iowa talking to these voters. There's a saying in Louisiana, you go hunting where the ducks are. The voters are here. This is where the election will be won.
We're asking the candidates a lot of the same questions. One of them is immigration. You feel a little differently about immigration, and you've had some campaign commercials here in Iowa that are different than some of the other candidates. Talk about that.
Absolutely. So, you know, again, Jeb a couple of weeks ago doubled down on amnesty. I disagree with that. I think we need to secure the border. I don't think we need a 1,000-page bill to do that. Secondly, I think we need to insist that folks that want to come here should adopt our values, should come legally, should learn English, should roll up their sleeves and get to work. I'm not for hyphenated Americans. I think we're all Americans. We're not Asian Americans or African Americans or rich or poor Americans. Let the left try to divide us. We are proudly the melting pot in America. And unlike Europe, where you've got second, third generation immigrants who don't consider themselves parts of their culture, we value the fact that everybody who wants to come here should want to be an American, or they shouldn't come here in the first place. Look, immigration without assimilation is invasion. And that'd be a mistake for our country. We shouldn't repeat the mistakes of Europe. I feel very strongly that folks that want to come here should come here legally and then come in and again, adopt our values, become a part of the American melting pot.
Another thing that you felt very strongly about, before you even announced your candidacy, you held a town meeting here in Cedar Falls with the Americans for Peace, Prosperity, and Security, and you talked at length about the Iran deal, and now that it has been passed, it was passed on July 14th, you are even more adamant about how you feel.
Absolutely, and there's still a chance for the Congress to do the right thing and reject this bad deal. Look, all you need to know about this deal is that Israel hated it, Syria loved it when it was announced. So our friends hate it, our enemies love this deal. A good deal with Iran would cause them to lay down their arms and recognize Israel's right to exist. This deal doesn't do that. A good deal would have said, for example, anytime, anywhere inspections. Would have said no centrifuges, no enriched uranium, no pathway to a plutonium bomb. Would have said they have to cut off all ties to Hamas, Hezbollah, and other terrorist groups. Would have said they recognize Israel's right to exist and release our prisoners. Instead, they're going to get tens of billions of dollars to support terrorist activity. Even the president admits that they're going to, and his administration admits that this money is likely to end up going to some bad places, counter to America's interests. The president says we can't put pressure on them because, in part, we need to borrow money from China, and so we can't have China, we can't force China, we can't leverage China to help us with tougher sanctions. That's what happens when you try to negotiate from a position of weakness. We need to negotiate from a position of strength. Peace through strength works. I think we need to go to Iran and say, we will not allow you to become a nuclear power. Now, I'm encouraged you're beginning to see some Democrats put country above party and say they're going to vote against this deal. There's still time for Congress to do that. as the next commander-in-chief. I signed the Tom Cotton letter, the Senator Cotton letter, saying, look, this president does not consider this a treaty, therefore I don't consider this binding on the next president. I'm going to be very clear to the leadership in Iran, we will not allow them to become a nuclear power.
And the last question we always ask the rest of the candidates also is, when you think of Iowa, what are one or two words that come to mind?
If I had to pick one word, it's friendly. The folks here have been very welcoming. Look, even folks that don't agree with you on everything. I've had folks come and wait for hours at town halls to come tell me why they agree or disagree. Very respectful. They're very welcoming. And they want you to have a good experience in their state.
Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal, thank you so much for spending time with me today.
Well, thank you for talking with me, and thank you for waiting so patiently. For your listeners, they can go to bobbyjindal.com if they want to learn more.